Ain't no friend no each other out.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Ain't no friend.
This is the day the Lord has made. Yes. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
Some news announcements. They say that Juanita Lilly, in fact, Nikki talked to her. She got her second COVID shot, and then she tested positive for COVID. So, I've never heard of that. I think it was like, if you get both of the COVID shots, it's like point something that you may get COVID. But anyway, let's keep her in prayer. And talk to our sister Carol Blankenship, and she's having some health issues, and boy, we sure want to lift her up in prayer. She's such a special lady. Such a special lady. And there's some others that's very sick. And we know Linda May's son died. What was he, in his 50s?
I think so.
And so I was thinking as I was riding around the mountain and praying that a whole lot of people up here is going home, has already went home. And the main thing is we need to realize that death is coming unless the rapture takes place. And believe it or not, I'm turning 77 and I'm still learning how to live through all of this plague and the COVID and isolation from nursing home people.
Yeah.
The good news is we've already got two homes up here that has got us booked to come. And I'm looking forward to where we can really get busy in the nursing home. But you know, it's been a big adjustment for all of us. And some of us has not been able to adapt to that adjustment. And, you know, I think we're blessed because we've been together day and night, except for maybe six nights in 27 years almost. But we're all looking for things to get better. But we've got at the same time to realize what the Bible says, that before the return of Jesus, things would get worse and worse. So I'm not a pessimist. I'm looking at the good part of it. Through all of the trouble, it draws the church closer to the Lord. Or it should.
Yes.
And this social distancing. Now, Christians, we're not used to that. In this church, we always had our greeting to start the service, and not able to do that. We could do that, but I would feel terrible if someone would come to church here and have to deal with the COVID. But I want to say that God is good, and He's still on the throne.
Amen.
I think last week or week before, well, last week we prayed for you, didn't we, Constance? For your heart, or was it week before last?
Last week.
Last week. And I know God loves you, and He's going to take care of you. And the main thing that hurts all of us is, if we get sick, we get afraid. If we get afraid, that keeps us from healing like we should. Because the frame of mind and frame of heart dictates generally how we're going to feel. And so when you turn to Jesus, you can't turn to anyone any better. And He certainly helped me through these two knee replacements and this stent in my heart. I know I've got some more that they say is blocked pretty bad. But we just keep going.
Right.
Jim, we just got to believe God's going to take care of Carol. And I know y'all lost your mama, and Miss Ann was so dear to me. And I know that bad things are happening to people everywhere, especially God's people. But we can rejoice in the fact that there's going to be a better day ahead for all of us if we are truly saved. And so I'm looking forward to that day, but also I realize that at my age, I don't have a lot of years left, and I'm just not going to waste my time. I'm going to enjoy each day. I'm going to enjoy my wife. I'm going to enjoy this mountain. I'm going to enjoy you. And I'm going to live. I'm going to live till I die or I'm raptured. I'm not just going to exist. And God doesn't want us to just exist. Pastor Nikki, open us up to prayer. Come on in. Make yourself at home.
Yes.
Good. Praise the Lord for you. So good to see you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. It's just so good to see folks walk in. It's just family. Amen.
That's right.
Family
has gathered.
All right.
Our precious Heavenly Father, how we praise you and thank you for this day.
Yes.
Beautiful, sunshiny, nippy day. We thank you for it. We thank you especially for our salvation. We thank you for Jesus coming and paying the price for our sin that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for opening our eyes, for helping us to repent, to see that we need a Savior. We thank you and praise you, Father, for one another, that you've put us together today in order to encourage one another and help one another along the journey. We thank you, Jesus, that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you for your presence right here, right now. We thank you that you're working in our lives by your Spirit to grow us and make us into your image, Lord Jesus. We praise you for that. We thank you that we're growing sweeter every day. Thank you, Father, for one another. I lift up everyone in this congregation this morning, that you would just fill their cups to overflowing. Remind them of who they are in you, Lord Jesus. Remind them that you're on the throne and that you're taking care of things, even though the things around us just are so depressing at times, Lord, this COVID virus. We thank you, Lord, that you're drawing all of us closer to yourself. That's what we want, Lord, a closer walk with you. And you know what's best for us, Father, so help us to be content in whatever situation we find ourselves in. And we lift up all those that are sick or close to death. We pray for Juanita, and we pray for Sister Lenny over here that's alone, Lord. We pray that you would make a way for her to have a telephone so she can call and have her needs met. We thank you, Father. We thank you for Dylan. We pray for him today, for the family. We just pray for all those that are on our list, Lord, and those that are on our hearts. You put on our hearts the people you'd have us pray for you said we're a house of prayer. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said,
Amen. We're going to open up today with the song that says, Count Your Blessings.
Yes.
And you know, if we start counting our blessings, we won't have much time to complain, will we?
No, we won't.
No. I thank God for each and every one of you, and I just want you to feel welcome, want you to feel at home. And want to see you get closer to Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, page 300. Count your many blessings. If you want to stand, you can. If you want to sit down, whatever you want to do. Let's worship the Lord, though. Let's praise Him and worship Him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Touch that girl. I thank him for his touch. I thank you folks for your prayers.
I thank you for what God can do.
Come on now.
And where he is and where he's always at. He's above us at all times, watching over us.
Yes.
And then the family lost their daughter with her funeral. And her mom told me that the Lord confirmed it three different ways, that she was safe in his care and it brought them a peace.
Amen.
They were having the funeral, and when the preacher preached, he said, it might not be the right place or anything. He gave an altar call, and one soul got saved. So through all this, there was a soul brought to the Lord too. So God's really worked this week, and I praise him for his glory. He's working at all times, whether we see him or not. And he's always there. And I thank him for all his goodness, his mercy. I thank him for the love up here on the mountain and our fellowship. I thank him for all he does for us, for truly he blesses us many different ways.
He sure does.
Amen. I tell you what, it pleases God when we brag on him.
Amen.
I tell you what, I'm going to brag on him. I want to thank him that he's always there when I get discouraged about something. And being in ministry, you can get discouraged mighty quick. Somebody might just say something or do something and not really mean it to hurt you or whatever. But you know, words, the Bible says the tongue is an unruly member. And we have to be careful how we talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of times what we hear is not really what really is. But I want to thank him for helping me in my times of being discouraged, and how that he is always faithful. When you try your best and it's not good enough for some people, that's what really hurts. And I think of how Jesus came into his own and his own received him not. And you know, Jesus had a sensitive heart when he was a human.
Amen.
And I just praise him because he knows how to make you feel better.
Yes,
God knows how to make his people feel better.
Amen.
And he's sure enough been good to me.
I thank him for the comforter. When you have the Holy Ghost in your heart, in your spirit, he just speaks to your heart whenever you are hurting, or whether you're joyful, or he might put a song on your heart this morning while I lay in bed. Waking up slowly, one song after another came to my mind. And it wasn't my own mind thinking up something to sing. It was the Holy Ghost. The final song before I got up was "When the Saints Go Marching In."
somebody walked in the door and said, "When the Saints..."
Yes.
Was that you, Marlene?
Yeah, said, you said to her, "When the saints come dragging in." At least you're a saint, right?
I want to thank the Lord for our family up here on the mountain.
Yes.
I want to thank him for good neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Larry and Bea bought that little cottage from us, and then we sold the two lots beside of us, and they built the cabin over there, Glenda and Bill.
Yeah.
And I've got just wonderful neighbors. And I'm going to tell this on them. They came in last week, and the son came in and spent a couple of days with them, went back. Well, their white car sat over there for 2 days, and I never seen it move. I never seen a light on in the house. And I said to Nikki yesterday, "You know, Nikki, they might be dead in there." And she said, "Oh, Buck," she said, "Buck will know in a few days if we come by here and we smell something." And so it was so funny. I was really concerned about him, and I called, and Larry answered the phone, so I knew he wasn't dead. But this was a place where they could come up and just, you know, chill out. And have some alone time. And I think we all need that, don't we?
Amen.
I think we all need that. Have you got a praise report, sister?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a bubbling. The Lord helped me find his Social Security card that was lost in my house. And I'm going to tell you what, God cares about the little things, the big things. It doesn't matter what it is.
Come on.
It doesn't matter if it's a Social Security card or a picture you've been looking for. It doesn't matter if it's your pet. If it's important to you, it's important to him.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Thank the Lord I know that card.
Praise the Lord. Talking about losing things down in Jacksonville, before we come up here, we pulled in to get gas. It was almost dark. We were on the way back home. And so she gets out and goes to the bathroom. I locked the door while I'm pumping gas. I locked everything up because I was going to have to go. Well, we locked the keys up in the car.
It was an old-fashioned car, so it didn't have the little numbers to punch or anything like that.
But to make a long story short, how many believe in angels?
Yeah.
Man, this guy rode up on a motorcycle, and he looked like he had just come out of the woods, been in there a month. I mean, he just looked like he was rough-looking.
He had that leather bag, you know, on his side with the chain.
And he said, what's going on? I said, locked my keys up in the car. We're about 30 miles from home. He said, I'll get them keys. I thought, I hope you don't get a hammer or something. You know? But anyway, make a long story short, he got our keys for us. And I was thinking how God cares about the little things and the little ways that we overlook things and do things. He cares about everything. And so I said, here, let me give you something for help and get my keys. He said, no, I don't know. I'm not going to charge you nothing. And I thought, you know, I've got the Christian decals and everything. I said, let me tell you something. I need a blessing, so let me bless you. I said, you don't use people for your own gain. And I want you to take this and go in there and buy you something to eat. Because you could tell he hadn't eaten. I don't know whether he's an angel or not, but he was an angel to get our keys. But you never know. You never know. You never know who you're talking to. You never know who you're going to meet on the highway. You never know who you're going to meet, even in church.
That's right.
I've had people come into the church, never seen them before, never seen them since. It's just amazing. It's amazing to belong to the Lord.
It is.
It's amazing that His forgiveness, no matter what we do, how far in sin we go, and He loves us. And He wants us to repent and get back on the right track. I'm going to try to sing you a song. This song is a song that a pastor friend of mine wrote many, many years ago. And he gave me the song. Amen. All right. Hope you enjoy it. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you. The cross is the only way back home. No matter how far you may roam, it's a path that people trod to find the way. The cross is the only way back home. Jesus came to earth. the land, having to bow his will, Father's master plan. Let this cup pass from me, if it be thy will, I'll die alone. Father, I realize the cross. Don't live my head back home. He said the cross is the only way back home. No matter respected. Some of us don't know how to gain that love and trust and respect. Some of us work hard at getting people to love you and respect you. But you always will find people in this life that are walking down a bad road. You'll find people that are walking in darkness. And I don't care who it is, people are looking for something or someone to hope to, someone as an example. And I found somebody I can always look up to, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And he said, if you just come to me like a little child, you don't have to have the answers. You just got to believe that He is, and that He knows what's best for each and every one of us. Constance, I don't know why at your age that you are having the problem you are with your heart. But I do know this, that you can trust Jesus to do what's best. And the one thing He doesn't want His people to do is walk in fear.
Right.
Listen, God's got it. God's got tomorrow and the next day. God's got eternity. And I wonder sometimes, Lord, have I really done my best? And I'm sure you have too. Have I really done my best? Have I given you the best that I have to give you? And you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. All that matters is to love the Lord with all of your heart and let Him take care of the details in your life.
Amen.
We're going to sing one more song, and I just feel like bringing today's message.
Okay.
What page is it, honey?
What, He Set Me Free or In the Garden?
He Set Me Free. What do you say?
Yes.
Amen.
Page 8. Well, let me see if this microphone works now. I like this song because it reminds me that I'm free of my fleshly nature and I don't have to give in to it, that I can overcome anything.
All right, page 8. Next time you come,
yes, sir.
Brother, make sure she's prepared. Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm going to ask God to anoint me to bring the message that He's been dealing in my heart for quite some time. I titled it, "It's Worth It All." We look at the disciples, we look at the prophets in the Old Testament, and we read about their sacrifice and all they went through, and many of them gave their lives. In fact, all of the apostles gave their life but John. And John wrote Revelation, and John, it was God's plan for him to survive to write the book of Revelation. But we look at the hardships and the things that we go through as Christians. Now, I had the wrong idea about being a Christian many years ago. In fact, I was a young man, 43, before I surrendered to the Lord. I had the wrong idea completely. I tried to find my peace and my joy in alcohol, sex, drugs, you name it. I tried it all. Because I thought that being a Christian was just somebody that sat around and read your Bible all the time, and that was it. And there would be no fun to be a Christian. In fact, to be a Christian, I'd have to give up the things that brought me pleasure. But the more that I read the Bible and the longer I am a Christian, seeking His face, trying my best to do His will, I see that this is just a journey we're on. Now we have a choice. We can enjoy the journey, or we can just exist, because there's a destination for all of us. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There's no in between, and nobody can pray you out of hell or out of heaven.
That's right.
And we have to look at what we're going to go through if we're going to be a disciple of Christ. You see, Jesus said to go and preach the gospel. He also said to make disciples. I think one of the things that has impressed me with this mountain and this church is that I see that there are disciples. Sister Millette, Sister Marlene, known them a long time. Sister Carol Blankenship. We have some disciples on this mountain, people that are following Christ, helping each other. I was thinking about Sister Lenny Dawes and her husband's up there on the wall, already gone to be with the Lord. And she's blind. She can't see. She can see maybe a little, but it's so little that she can't go out and do things. But when we heard on this mountain that she was brought here and left without a phone that would work, how's she going to get help? And so I know that Sister Merlene went and talked with her. Pastor Nikki went, talked to her, let her know. Listen, the body of Christ will stick together when nobody else will. And we care. We care. We do without. A lot of times we do without so that we can help someone else. I want to tell you something. No matter what you're going through as a Christian, it's going to be worth it all. But you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to experience the glory of God here on this earth. And if you have your Bibles, we'll go to Mark, the 10th chapter. And we'll start reading at the 28th verse. Now Jesus was with his disciples when a young rich man, a good man, he was a good man, he was rich. And he wanted to know, the rich man, he came to Jesus and said, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you know, I keep the commandments, honor your father and mother and this and that. And the young man said, I've done all these things. I have kept the commandments. Jesus said, there's one last thing that you're going to have to do. I want you to get a hold of this. The very thing that you're holding on to is the very thing that you're going to have to make a decision one day whether to give it up and follow God in a way that he's asked you to do it, or you're going to keep it. Jesus told the rich man, take all of your money. Take all of your money and you put it to where you can feed the poor, where you can help people. And the Bible says that that rich young man turned and walked away because his money meant more to him than following the Lord. If you are a child of God, you're going to be put to the test. The thing that's most dearest to you, you will be put to the test to see if you love Jesus Christ more than you love that person or things. Now, I tell you, I'm having a hard time with things. I moved all kinds of stuff up from Jacksonville. I had a parsonage full of stuff. And we sold, give away, whatever. And we still brought a whole bunch up here to the mountain. Now, stuff. I'm tired of stuff. I'm just really tired of stuff. You may not be. But what I'm saying is, this rich young man was a good man. He was a good man. But the one thing that he lacked was that he loved his money more than he was willing to follow Jesus Christ. And so, that dumbfounded the disciples. I'll get to the scripture in a minute. How hard it is for a rich person to enter into the kingdom. They said, well, who in the world can make it then? Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And so Peter got to thinking. He was a fisherman. That's how he made his living. That's how he provided for his family. That was his occupation. And he left it and followed Jesus. When Jesus said, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, Peter left it all. He left that special time with his family. You know, today people don't know what sacrifice is. But Peter got to thinking and he said, starting at the 28th verse, chapter 10 of Mark, Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Peter was confused. I've given up everything. to follow Jesus Christ. And Jesus wanted to assure him that it was worth it all, no matter what you leave behind, no matter what you have to say goodbye to, it's worth it all to follow Jesus. And Jesus wants to encourage us with these words that he answered Peter. He said in the 29th verse, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions." With persecutions. I want you to know that with blessings come persecution. And if you endure the persecution and you handle the persecution, God will continue to multiply. That's why I've spent so many miles between here and Jacksonville, Florida. This is our 15th year here since Randolph Cantrell, James Carrico, and myself, and one or two others helped a little bit, built this church. So you receive 100-fold now in this time with persecution. We've been through a lot, but we've been blessed up here on this mountain. You know what? If a man or woman cannot get in a golf cart and just ride these roads and go down to the pond and go up the hill and come back and not see the blessings that we have up here. In Jacksonville, Florida, I'm so thankful God gave us a place out of Jacksonville and a place in the Ocala National Forest. There's an RV resort that you buy spaces. And Jacksonville, Florida, there's drive-by shootings. There's things happening all the time. And most of the time, the only problem we have up here is when two people start fussing over something. Can't agree on it, so they get mad at each other. Maybe politics. That's one thing I don't want to get into is politics up here on this mountain. I just want to love you. Whoever you are, independent, Democrat, Republican, or just a crap. The persecution that's going to come is going to come whenever God blesses you. Now, Pastor Nikki and I, we spend hardly little to no time with our family. In fact, I've got a daughter that hasn't spoke to me in over 28 years. And it's been hard, a hard pill for me to swallow. But it's the denominational doctrine that separated us. I've been blessed with some of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. When God speaks through me, I speak in tongues. When the power hits me, I shout. And the church that she went to, she said, "I've been taught that all that you're doing, Daddy's of the devil." And then she didn't think I ought to get married again after her mama died. So, God put Pastor Nikki and I together. God blessed me. God blessed me. But it cost me. And it'll cost you too. In one way or another, it's going to cost you to follow the Lord. May not cost you your family, but Jesus made it plain. There's no man that has left house, brothers, sisters, or father, or mother, wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the gospel, that you will receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, land, with persecution. and in the world to come, eternal life.
Amen.
That's going to be worth it all when we make it into glory land.
Yes.
When God receives us in and says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's going to be worth every sacrifice. And where we've got to live our life as a Christian, we need to receive the blessings of God, but be well aware that your problems can come either from religion or it can come from your own family. And that's where it hurts the worst.
Yes.
That's where it hurts the worst. But did I call my daughter and tell her, "I'm sorry because God has given me some gifts of the Spirit"? No. I just told her I loved her. And I feel bad that denominational doctrine has separated us. It hurts. It hurts. The rich man, the one thing that he depended on was his money for his happiness. Sometimes we depend on something for happiness that's really separating us from the blessings of God. And Jesus wanted us to know that He's with us. When the persecutions come, wherever it comes from, Jesus said, "I'll be with you even to the end of the world." He will never, never leave nor forsake us. And He said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We still got to fight.
Amen.
Not just on Sunday. All the way through the week. It's a battle every day. It's a battle just with ourselves. You ever wake up depressed?
Yes.
You ever just wake up depressed and you don't know what's wrong? It's a spiritual battle. Satan wants to gain. He cannot possess us, but he can oppress us, and he wants to rob us of the journey. Walking with Jesus in this life. Seeing the impossible things being done. All things are possible with God. I know when I retired, I came from Texas to Jacksonville, Florida, remarried my late wife. I worked at a power company, making good money. And then one day the Lord said, "I'm calling you out. And it's going to be a walk of faith. Come, take up your cross and follow me." And I retired without a retirement plan check then. At 46 years old, I left my job, had very little money, had remarried the kid's mother, but there was something in me that I had, that blessed assurance that I was going on a journey. Didn't know how it was going to turn out. Didn't know where the finances was going to come from. I didn't know. I had nothing but that voice that had spoke to me and gave me the faith. Gave up a good paying job. The last 6 months I worked at Florida Power, made $26,000 in 6 months. That big bucks back then. Big money. But you know, even when Pastor Nikki and I got married, she left her job as a probation officer. Now listen, I'm not bragging on herself. I'm trying to take you on a little trip here. She was 50 and I was 50. She quit her job. And we had no insurance till we were 65. We went 15 years without a dime's worth of health insurance. I don't remember going to the doctor very hardly ever. But when we did, there was always money to pay the doctor.
Right.
But I look back and see since 46 turning 77 how that God has multiplied to me over and over and over. And He'll do the same for you. But you've got to get your priorities straight. You've got to understand it's worth it all. And if you're waiting to get to heaven to sing and shout and praise God, you're not enjoying the journey. You're not being who God wants you to be. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have peace. But He wants you to have His power. Because we are in a spiritual battle. It's not against each other, flesh and blood. But it's a spiritual battle that Satan knows the end is near. And he wants to take down as many of God's people as he can. He already has the lost person. But he wants to, he thinks he's going to really hurt God by getting us to turn around and go down the bad path again. No. I'm going to enjoy the journey. And I realize today that no matter what comes tomorrow or the next day, that I've got someone that always going to take care of me.
That's
right, amen. Going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you.
Yes.
And we've got to get that attitude and quit moaning and crying about this COVID. And hey, I don't like it either. But I know one thing, there is victory in Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
There is victory in Jesus. Yes. And He has sent the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to live in us. And to go ahead of us and prepare the way for us and make this crooked path straight to make things so where we can enjoy the journey.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
With persecution. With persecution. Many that are first shall be last, and the last first. And if you read the scriptures, you'll see that at the last moment, as long as you have breath, you can be saved.
Amen.
You may know someone that lived like the devil. And when he died or she died, you said, well, I know where they went. They went to hell. You don't know nothing.
That's true.
You don't know. The thief on the cross, both of them had a chance to go to heaven. And only one went because he made that decision that it's worth a try. He asked Jesus, remember me. I want to tell you it's worth a try. It may look impossible, whatever you're facing, but it's worth a try to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What have you got to lose? What have we got to lose, church? Well, I've got to give up this and give up that. You don't have to give up nothing. It's God's job through the Holy Ghost after you're born again to work in your life to perfect you into the image of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Listen, it's not, you don't have to clean up before you come to God. You can be in a pig pen of sin and Jesus will still wrap His arms around you. And when you repent, He'll forgive you. And the Bible says He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
We're clean through the Word. Through the Word of God, we're clean. God wants you to know that He loves you and He wants you not to be miserable. Not to worry and fret.
That's right.
Listen, you can't do anything. You can't add or subtract anything in your life. You can't do it. It has to come from Jesus. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And you can do nothing good apart from me. Jesus has come out of His mouth. And He's saying to all of us, we need to realize what a treasure we have. We need to realize what a gift. What a gift each one of us have inside of us. If you're saved and you're truly born again, you've got the Spirit of God in you. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency is of God and not of us.
Amen.
Amen. We're just people.
Yes.
We'll mess up before we even get to our house today. We'll think something or do something. But you know what? God is a perfect God. And He prefers to live in each and every one of us and help us through all the things that we face. To help us through with all the bad choices we make. All the bad decisions. He's a great God, and He wants us to enjoy this journey.
Amen.
Would you play something for me?
Yes.
Today, I saw so many people die in a nursing home. I saw people die up here. We hadn't been up here but just a few weeks. About 4 o'clock in the morning. Preacher! Come quickly! Got my clothes on, run with them. Just a little piece down this road. There was a man named Fred Meeks. And he was sitting on his couch. It was horrible, Jim. He was sitting on his couch dead, and his wife was weeping and holding on to him. Just a couple years ago, preacher, come. We thank you. Rita Barr's dead. Run down there. There she was sitting on the back porch. Dead. Lady that comes to church here, Jane Reed, used to be a nurse. I knew she was dead. I said, Jane, somebody call 911. We got to do CPR. About that time, I heard Merlene screaming out in the front yard. She had just come from Merlene's house. And she was gone. She was gone. We did CPR for about an hour and a half. I told Jane, we can't stop now until they get here. Don't you ever start CPR and stop until the rescue comes. Because you could be held responsible. Got to keep doing it. I'm saying all that to say this. God's given Pastor Nikki and me a family up here. And in the nursing homes, and I've seen so many of them die. Didn't have a penny in her pocket. So many of them had children to take everything they had and put them in a nursing home. And they never come and see them. But God gave us a family. We used to have 72 nursing homes. I look back on my life since I've been a Christian. I feel so humble at all that God has given me. All the persecutions has really come. Year before last, we got a call. Got to evacuate some nursing home people in Jacksonville, people that we knew. Pastor Nikki and I got on the highway headed south. I drove a bus, took those people to safety. Do you know while I had those people on the bus, I got a phone call from someone on this mountain that said I didn't do the church right up here? that I had abandoned the church. Persecution will come. Persecution will come. No matter how hard you try to do what's right. But you know what? When we took the people back to the nursing home, as we brought each one down the lift, they would look and say, "Thank you for taking care of me." See, that's where the blessing is. The blessing, the persecution comes when you try to do what's right. But it's worth it all. It's worth it all. God wants you to enjoy whatever time we have left. I personally don't think we have a lot of time left in this old world. But who knows? May have a lot of time left. But I know I don't have a lot of time. But I'm enjoying the journey. I'm getting a little taste of heaven every day. And you can too. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to you to understand it's worth it all to be saved. It's worth it all to be saved. And wherever your persecution comes from, just remember God sees and God knows and God understands and God is working. You know, He's a God of restoration. God knows how to put a family back together. We just got to trust God and completely be willing to give up whatever to follow Him.
That's right.
And once you're willing to do that, then you're going to start enjoying the journey. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today I'd like to give you the opportunity, if you want prayer, I'll put my mask on if you want to come up. You want to give your heart to the Lord. You want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Or you just want to come up, and by you coming up saying, "Jesus, I just love you," you're welcome to come right now. You're welcome to come. If you only knew how special you are to God. If you only knew the times that He's come to your rescue and you did not even know it. God's working behind the scenes. You don't have to always see what He's doing. And you won't. but he never sleeps. And he loves you. Love you. If you could grab hold of that, it's going to be worth it all. I don't want you to die. It's going to be worth it all.
Amen.
While we wait, you'd like to come. By her coming up here, that whatever is in her heart that she's come up for prayer, God, that you will intervene, that you, your power, God, yes, Lord, your power, help her to overcome anything that may be troubling her. Bless Sister Merlene, God, grant her wish, her prayer, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, sisters. Anyone else?
Yeah.
before last service, back there, CDs, if you want one, they're free. And we have last Sundays. We'll always be putting them out there as long as somebody will take them. All right. Y'all be safe, okay? Yeah. Just love you much.
Amen. Pray for one another. Pray for us.